Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the websites onthisday.com and WFMT.com. Question number one. It was on this day back in 1979 that the Reverend Richard Pettiman spoke at a revival meeting in California to warn the congregation about the evils of rock and roll. Reverend Pettiman was better known by what name? Was it A, Pat Boone, B, Little Richard, C, Oral Roberts, or D, Richard Nixon? The Reverend Pettiman. What other name did he go by? And question number two, which of the following U.S. presidents was also known as a musician? Was that A, Thomas Jefferson, B, Harry Truman, C, Warren Harding, D, Bill Clinton, or E? Each of the above listed U.S. presidents was also known as a musician. The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the 22nd of July. It was on this very day, back in 1933, that Katerina Jarborough became the first black prima donna of a U.S. opera company. She sang Aida at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City, 1933, today. And it was 27 years ago today, 1995, that a three-night celebration of Frank Sinatra's 80th birthday began at Carnegie Hall. 1995, today. And finally, in transitions, we have this obituary. Mickey Rooney Jr., musician, actor, and first child of a screen legend, dies at 77. He played in bands with Willie Nelson and was an original and mischievous Mouseketeer before being fired from that show. This is published in HollywoodReporter.com by Mike Barnes on the 18th of July, 2022. Mickey Rooney Jr., an original Mouseketeer, musician and actor, who was the first of screen legend Mickey Rooney's nine children, has died. He was 77. Rooney Jr. died Saturday at his home in Glendale, Arizona. His longtime companion, Chrissy Brown, told The Hollywood Reporter. The cause of death is unknown, she said. Rooney Jr. played in bands with Willie Nelson and appeared with the actor-musician in the films Honeysuckle Rose, 1980, and Songwriter, 1984. His mother was Betty Jane Baker, a singer and winner of the 1944 Miss Alabama beauty pageant. She first met Mickey Rooney when he was stationed in the U.S. Army in Birmingham, Alabama, during World War II. She became the second of his eight wives, after Ava Gardner, and before fellow actress Martha Vickers. They were married from 1944 until their 1948 divorce. Joseph Yule III, his dad's birth name was Joe Yule, Jr., was born in Birmingham on July 3, 1945. He and brother Tim Rooney were hired as backup cast members on ABC's The Mickey Mouse Club in 1955. He worked on a handful of episodes before they were fired after some mischief in the Disney paint department. Mickey Jr. was tall and talented. He could sing, dance, and act, and get into trouble. "We were fired for conduct on Becoming a Mouse." Rodney Jr. played guitar, keyboard, bass, drums, and harmonica. In the 1960s, he recorded songs and appeared on the ABC music show Shindig and played in a band with brothers Tim and Teddy. And in country music news, we have this entitled, "On the Road Again, Some Places Across America to Get Your Country Fix." This is written by Peter Cooper and published in AARP magazine, July 2022 issue. And this is one of the sections of that larger article. It's entitled, "It's About Community." It's written by Leanne Womack. In the small town where I grew up, there are dance halls that were built mostly by German or Czech immigrants. They were community centers, a gathering place. People would go there for meetings, like fraternal organizations, then hear music on Saturday night and go to church there on Sunday morning. If you moved to this vast open place called Texas from Germany or Central Europe, you needed a place to feel like you belonged, to gather and eat, bring food and music from home. And this is where a lot of those German polka beats you came to hear in early Texas country music and blues and Tejano music came together. Leanne Womack, 55, is from Jacksonville, Texas. Over a 25-year career in music, she has won 6 Country Music Association Awards. Morning Mood by Edvard Grieg introduces our classical music news. It's entitled, "Dolphins Are So Cultured, They Even Enjoy Listening to Beethoven and Bach," study suggests. This is published in Daily Mail on the 13th of July, 2022. A new study suggests playing classical composers makes dolphins feel happier. Dolphins played classical music, showed more sociable behavior with others. Researchers said the music could help dolphins when they feel stressed, and the study found classical music was more beneficial than giving dolphins toys. They are known to be very intelligent, but it seems dolphins are cultured too. A study suggests they are fond of classical music. Dolphins played Edvard Grieg, Saint-Saëns, Bach, Debussy, and Beethoven showed more sociable behavior. The mammals showed more interest in each other, gave more gentle touches, and swam in synchrony for longer. Researchers from the University of Padua in Italy found giving them toys or playing other sounds did not have the same effect. The way the dolphins behaved after hearing the music suggested they were feeling happy, perhaps because it activated their brains to produce endogenous opioids, chemicals such as endorphins, which influence mood. We know that in a wide range of animals, endorphins are related to social bonding, said lead researcher Dr. Cecil Guerneau. Activation of opioids receptors is correlated with a feeling of euphoria. Her team studied bottlenose dolphins using an underwater speaker to play them classical music. The findings are published in the journal Applied Animal Behavior Science. Dolphins may also be able to perceive rhythm because they are a vocal learning species, Dr. Guerneau said. It may be that similar to how dancing at a party makes us feel good and helps people to bond, when dolphins synchronize to a beat, they also feel good and connect with their fellow swimmers. A previous study by the National Autonomous University of Mexico found that classical music also increased sociable behavior in laboratory-housed chimps, while research by Queen's University in Belfast found it reduced aggressive abnormal behavior in gorillas. And in music research and technology, we have this article entitled, All the Amazing Things That Playing Piano Does for Your Brain and Body, in one graphic. All the emotional, cognitive, and physical benefits of music making in one helpful infographic. This is published in ClassicFM.com on the 12th of July, 2022. Created by Encore Music Lessons in 2014, the infographic cites several scientific studies which point towards music lessons being good for your cognitive development, from spatial awareness to emotional intelligence to brain power. Here's how piano playing might be doing more than you think. One of the studies referenced in the infographic is the McGill Piano Project, which took place in 1999. 117 children aged 9 or 10 who had never participated in formal music instruction, did not have a piano at home, and whose annual family income was below $40,000, participated in the study. A control group and an experimental group were formed. Each child in the experimental group received a piano and 3 years of individual piano lessons at no cost to their families. At the end of the 3 years, the experimental group had significantly higher spatial cognitive scores than the control group, and the experimental group also saw a significant increase in self-esteem levels. The ideographic also claims that adults who play the piano are less likely to experience anxiety, loneliness, or depression, a statement echoed by legendary piano manufacturer Steinway, whose website reads, "Studies show that time spent at the keyboard improves mental health. People who make music experience less anxiety, loneliness, and depression." New research in 2022 from the British Academy of Sound Therapy found that music takes 13 minutes to release sadness and 9 to make you happy. They tested 7,581 participants and found that 89% believed music to be essential to their health and well-being. Professors at the University of Pennsylvania have previously said that music could replace sedatives for treating preoperative anxiety. Comedian and writer Stephen Fry even credited the music of Beethoven for helping him overcome his depression. Proof that music really can change your life. Now go practice. And in jazz and symphonic pop music news, there's an advertisement for the 2022-2023 season of Pops by the NC Symphony. So go to ncsymphony.org or phone 919-733-2750 for details and ticket information. Glenn Miller gets us in the mood for our local music news. It's the 2022 New Visions Gala, celebrating a brighter future, benefiting the North Carolina Reading Service. It's coming up on September 9th, 2022. Tickets are now available to purchase. So please join us on Friday, September 9th, 2022, at the Hilton in Raleigh, North Hills, for our biggest fundraiser of the year. That's the Hilton Raleigh. The evening will include a cocktail hour, a new vision showcase demonstrating technology available for people who are blind and print impaired, dinner, silent auction, and keynote speaker, author, and NCRS volunteer Mike Elliott. Live music provided by Barber and Hinton. Phone 919-832-5138 for more information and tickets. And by the way, if you want to purchase tickets by check, please mail checks payable to North Carolina Reading Service, 211 East Six Forks Road, Suite number 103, Raleigh, North Carolina 27609. But once again, phone 919-832-5138 for more information. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this day back in 1979 that the Reverend Richard Penniman spoke at a revival meeting in California to warn the congregation about the evils of rock and roll. Reverend Penniman, it was better known by what name? Was it A, Pat Boone? Was it B, Little Richard? Was it C, Oral Roberts, or was it D, Richard Nixon? Correct answer? Answer B, Little Richard. As the Reverend Richard Penniman warned a congregation about the evils of rock and roll. As noted in grunge.com, during the latter half of the 1970s and the first half of the 1980s, Little Richard replaced his microphone with a pulpit. Gone was the makeup that helped make him famous. He had kissed his kinky lifestyle goodbye. He had come to Jesus. But in 1985, Jesus nearly came for him. Richard had a pretty nasty collision with a telephone pole while driving late at night. His sports car crumpled, his little leg got broken, and his ribs took a fairly fierce beating. Firefighters on the scene had to pry him free with the jaws of life. An orthopedic surgeon told the L.A. Times that Richard was lucky to survive that accident. Little Richard, however, had a different interpretation, that God had saved him. Perhaps abandoning his raunchy ways had saved the day. Richard vowed to keep spreading the good word and fighting the good fight. Not long after, he returned to rock and roll. No matter how far or fast you run, you will never escape yourself. Little Richard grappled with that reality seemingly a million times during his start-and-stop career. According to the Washington Post, Richard's rock and roll itch returned in 1986. That year, he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and people started buying up his biography. But according to Richard, his decision had a much deeper motive. It wasn't about clinging to fading vestiges of fame or having one last crash grab. It was a fundamental statement about who he was. As Little Richard put it, "Rock and roll is something I created. It's all I know how to do. I don't know how to do anything else. I'm not a minister, and I'm not what you call gospel singer, even though I've made some gospel records. I'm just an old country rock and roll singer from Macon, Georgia." According to Rolling Stone, that old rock and roll singer also pulled a few tricks out of his bag during the 1990s with several film appearances and some surprisingly catchy covers of children's songs. In fact, even in old age, as Richard disavows his old self, he still wears fabulous suits and sparkly shoes. Some habits die hard, and rock and roll never dies. And the answer to our second question, which of the following U.S. presidents was also known as a musician? Was it A, Thomas Jefferson, B, Harry Truman, C, Warren Harding, D, Bill Clinton, or E, each of the above-listed U.S. presidents was also known as a musician? Correct answer, answer E, all of the above. As noted by Hanig Edgar in November 5, 2018 article in WFMT.com titled Eight U.S. Presidents You Didn't Know Were Musicians, when Thomas Jefferson wasn't busy writing the Declaration of Independence, he was often practicing music. According to first-hand accounts, he was, quote-unquote, always singing when riding or walking around his estate, Monticello. Also an accomplished amateur violinist, he owned at least three different violins during his lifetime, one of which was rumored to be the handiwork of master luthier Niccolò Amati. Though Jefferson's repertoire encompassed concertos by Vivaldi, Handel, and Boccherini, our third president found he was in lonely company as a classically inclined American musician. As he lamented, "Music is the favorite passion of my soul, but fortune has cast my lot in a country where it is in a state of deplorable barbarism." 50 years before Bill Clinton played saxophone on the Arsenio Hall show, Harry Truman became the first president to have his musicianship associated with his public persona, thanks to his historic photo op with Lauren Bacall. But as always, there's more to the story. From an early age, Truman was serious about the piano, waking up as early as 5 a.m. to squeeze in some practice before school. He seemed to be on track to become a concert pianist, but he suddenly stopped taking lessons at 15, believing he wasn't good enough. As he quipped later on, "My choice early in life was either to be a piano player in a whorehouse or a politician, and to tell the truth, there's hardly any difference." However, his love of the piano sustained him for the rest of his life, with some of his favorite compositions being Chopin's A-flat Waltz, Opus 42, Mozart's Piano Sonata in A Major, Beethoven's Piano Concert No. 4 in G, and Johann Strauss's Blue Danube Waltz. He was also fond of Debussy and Gershwin. With a legacy marred by scandals, Warren G. Harding wasn't exactly a lovable guy, but he did know how to carry a tune, and or just about every instrument also. He once boasted that he played every instrument but the slide trombone and the E-flat cornet, and used his musical knowledge to organize the Citizens Cornet Band, and played at both the Democratic and the Republican Party rallies. As a gimmick, he even played the tuba at the 1920 Democratic Convention to celebrate his nomination. Like others on this list, Bill Clinton considered a career in music before he considered a career in politics. As a student, he sang in the school choir and practiced the saxophone as many as 4 hours a day, winning first chair in Arkansas All-State Band. But, echoing Harry Truman, he stopped short of a professional career, later explaining, "I loved music and thought I could be very good, but I knew I would never be John Coltrane or Stan Getz." But Clinton's musical talents are more than just fun bits of presidential trivia. In the case of his appearance playing saxophone on the Arsenio Hall show, his talents might have proved politically advantageous, with pundits claiming that His 1992 performance helped him gain traction among young and minority voters. The other four presidents known for their musical talent in this article include John Quincy Adams on the flute, John Tyler on the violin, Richard Nixon on the piano, and Barack Obama with his singing voice. And speaking of America and politics, we have this from Ronnie Dunn, who is 69 and the lead singer of the duo Brooks and Dunn. He says, "It's a vow for democracy. Our democracy is not something that just shows up. It's something you have to work at, like a marriage." Also from the AARP magazine, we see this from Winona Judd, entitled, "We Have Choices." "I was doing a show and getting ready to sing one of my hits. A man gave me flowers. He was from somewhere like Iran. And he said, 'We're not allowed to listen to music on the radio.' I said, 'What do you mean?' I had no idea where to go with that kind of comment. This guy blew the doors off when he said that. I looked at him and said, 'Oh my God, let me tell me more.' He said, 'You don't know what it's like to not be able to listen to music.' I don't. To be an American means I will never have to think about what it's like not to have choices. I think the song I was about to sing was 'She Is His Only Need,' ironically." Now a solo artist, Winona Judd, 58, was recently inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame with her late mother, Naomi, as the Judds. Music in America. Given the benefits of playing piano, as described in today's Music Research and Technology article, and the popularity of piano playing by our former presidents, let's close out today's program with Brahms' Piano Sonata No. 3 in F minor. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words: kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.